This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 373A for Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. Really happy you decided to join us once again as we enter or embark on the Christmas week. And Sally's in red to commemorate our Christmas show. Hi, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Close to a nice holiday and looking forward to just some family time and gathering around God's Word with lots of beautiful music and children's services, all that great stuff that allows us to celebrate our Savior's birth.
Yeah. I want to thank you publicly for the photo JoJo that you sent me. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but I think one of the neat things about an ecosystem like Apple is you get all these kinds of accessories that you can get. I know a couple years back I found a microphone that you plug in and sent that over to the Draper household, and I know you're using that for your Bible class stuff, and I'm really looking forward to this. It's both a wide angle and a macro lens that you can attach to your iPhone to give you a little bit better capabilities with your phone photo taking efforts. So thank you very much.
I hope you enjoy it. I like that website. I don't know if we've ever talked about the Photo JoJo website, but they have a lot of unique add-on type photography things. So, and you know, the best camera is the one you have with you. So
that's right. That's what they
say.
That
iPhone camera.
So. And that's got the iPhone is one of the best cameras out there. So. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sally, this is Christmas week, and we're doing something. We always do something special toward the end of the year. We try and find some kind of heavy hitters that we could interview. Sometimes it's a synod president or an administrator. And this time, I think we've outdone ourselves. We have an administrator and two world-class missionaries who've been in the field a long time and are doing great things in technology. So we're talking with missionary Brad Wardell, who works in our multi-language publications area now, but has been our missionary to Japan for many years. We asked him to stay up late into the evening, Tokyo time, to join us, alongside a missionary Mike Hartman, who we've talked to before. We've talked to both Brad and Mike before, and Mike is in Leon, Mexico, same time zone, so not a real stretch for him, but really happy he was able to clear some time during, I'm sure, a busy Christmas week. And right here in Waukesha, Wisconsin, just down the hall, in fact, World Missions Administrator Larry Schlomer, who used to be a missionary but now kind of oversees all of our world mission work and giving us his perspective. So really the focus of the show or the interview is what kind of technologies are we using around the world, because that is really changing quickly, and these guys have some neat and interesting things that they're going to share with us. It's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to having them come on the show.
Yeah, special treat for me. I think I'm kind of a World Mission fangirl, and it's just such a joy to get to connect literally spanning the globe with these wonderful missionaries that we have in our field. So Give it a listen.
But before we get there, you have a little something to share yourself in ministry resources.
Right. It's kind of a Christmas gift as well, Martin. It's something from Martin Luther College. I'm going to do a quick screen share for those that are watching the video. They've set up a page on the Martin Luther College website with seasonal devotions. And this has become a really neat tradition where they produce a high-quality devotion book. They did it during Holy Week, and now they've done a 12 Days of Christmas devotion. So perfect timing because it starts with a devotion for Christmas Day and goes forward the 12 days following. And you can actually view it online in a really nice interface where you can read online, zoom in, that kind of thing. Or you can download a PDF version of it if that's your preference and have a copy of the devotion book for your personal devotions from Christmas through Epiphany. So check out the links in the show notes. They're promising a new book coming out Holy Week 2015, so you can actually sign up on the page to get information when those publications are ready. So just want to thank our friends at Martin Luther College and all that were involved in the production of this beautiful book, and I hope you enjoy it, kind of a little Christmas gift for you from MLC.
I really like the direction Martin Luther College is taking these days. They're kind of getting the idea that, hey, technology can be leveraged. They're streaming their chapel services, things like this. I know they're talking about redoing their website, make it more mobile-friendly, online giving. You know, all those things are available through not just MLC, but our Synod schools as well. So that's neat to see.
Yep. What a blessing it is. So
without further ado, let us begin our interview with missionary Brad Wardell and Mike Hartman and World Mission Administrator Larry Schlomer. Enjoy, everybody. Why don't we allow you to introduce yourselves. I think almost all of you have been on the show before, no strangers to Wells Tech. Let's start with Mexico, and I'm assuming Leon. Mike Hartman?
Yep, I'm in the beautiful, sunny Leon, Mexico. I've lived here since 1999 when I was called as a missionary to Mexico, and earlier this year I became our coordinator for mission work in all of Latin America.
Wife and kid, lovely wife and beautiful kids down there, right?
Yep, they're all excited because today is the last day of school before Christmas vacation. So
wonderful. Okay, Larry, let's just go across the screen on as I see it here.
Very good. I'm Larry Schlomer. I'm the administrator for Wells World Missions. So I work here out of the Center for Mission and Ministry in Pewaukee. Wife and six kids. They are gathering for Christmas break. We got the MLC student and the prep student at home already, and St. Matt's and Oconomowoc gearing up for it next week.
And your foreign or world mission experience is what?
I grew up in Colombia where my dad was a missionary, worked in Puerto Rico as a vicar, and about 9 years in the Dominican Republic as a missionary.
Right, good. And Brad?
Like Mike, I've been a world missionary since 1999. I've been in Japan for 15 years, and now for the last couple of years, I've been serving as the coordinator for multi-language publications in Asia, the Asia coordinator. So that means overseeing work in about 9 different Asian countries.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wife and 5 children, and like Larry, we're getting together for Christmas, so we're very excited.
Okay. Well, Mike, you're bringing up the rear in number of children, you realize. good to have all of you. I appreciate you taking the time, and especially you, Brad. It's, about 11, past 11 o'clock in the evening there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wanted to just kind of have a conversation about technology in our world mission fields, and that can take a lot of different forms and shapes, and has over the years. All three of you have seen technology move along. I mean, it started with cell phones, and then the wonders and the miracles of Skype, and now we're moving beyond that, and that's what I think we're most interested in hearing about. Maybe talk a little bit about the technical capabilities of the fields in which you work or have had experience, and I'm just really talking about what is available. A lot of people think of world missions as really challenged and technologically have some serious limitations. We can't do the same things in our world mission fields that we can do in the States. Shed a little light on that for us from at least your experience and where you work. Anybody can go.
Well, here in Mexico, in some ways, is the leader in Latin America for technology and such. Usually things come to Mexico a year or two before they come to other places. And one of the interesting things here that you hear is that they're saying by the end of next year, by the end of 2015, there will be 70 million smartphone users in Mexico, and that's out of a population of 110 million. That's a significant portion of the population, and it's ever increasing. A couple of interesting aspects to that, though, is that, you know, there was a dot-com boom in the 90s back in the States. That never really happened in Mexico or in Latin America. The laptops are not a super common technology. Even landlines never really made an in Latin American countries. And so you have a lot of people that are getting on the internet now for the very first time using mobile technology. And so that does change a little bit of when you're looking at using the internet, it does change a little bit of what your focus is. Another interesting aspect of that is while there's so many smartphones and an increasing number of smartphones, more than 50% of smartphones in Mexico do not have a data plan. And so people then, you know, they have the ability to get on the internet, but they have to go to a place where they can get on through Wi-Fi. And again, that makes, when we're working with people here and trying to use mobile technology as a way to help people share the gospel, we need to make sure that it's stuff that they can use not only while they're connected to the internet, but when they're offline as well.
So what is the availability of Wi-Fi? And I suppose that varies. In León, a major city, it's more available than other locations.
Well, it was interesting. You know, a couple of months ago, I was up in Sonora, Mexico, in these little villages where Mission of the Children works. And I'd go into each one of the villages. I would see at the town square out in front of the city hall that you'd see all these kids, you know, the teens and 20-somethings, and they're all using their phones, and they all had smartphones. And I walked up and I asked them, you know, what are the three most popular apps on their smartphones? And they said it was Facebook, WhatsApp, and an app so that they could break into a Wi-Fi connection. But in all those little
villages, not in that order, probably.
Yeah, but all those little villages would have Wi-Fi connection at the city hall, and so people. These kids would gather around the city hall, and that's how they could get connected to the internet.
Interesting. Brad, Larry?
When we first got to Japan, actually, Japan was way ahead of America in cell phone usage, and we'd come back on furlough and say, why aren't Americans using cell phones? So Japan was way ahead of America in that regard. I think America is caught up now. But it's also interesting, like Mike said, to go to these Asian countries, other Asian countries, and to see that they have cell phones and smartphones, but they've never had a computer, or they have a grass roof and they have a satellite dish on the roof and are able to bring in a satellite TV or internet through satellite. So it's a great opportunity. In Japan, Japan has now been passed up in smartphone usage number of people by India. There are now more people in India using smartphones than in Japan. So Japan is now the number four country after the U.S. and China and now India.
One thing I noticed in my trips to Hong Kong and then visiting you in Tokyo and riding the subways is everybody has a screen in front of them, and not just a little iPhone screen, but typically the larger, 5-6 inch diagonal screens, and they're just either watching videos or tapping out messages or whatever. I mean, that's just what they do. Probably even especially so in Tokyo, where everybody was just very quiet, and absorbed just in.
You do one of two things on a train. You either sleep on the train or you're using your device.
Yeah. There was a lot more chatter, I noticed, like in Hong Kong, a little more interaction. Tokyo was, they were very cocooned, and they were kind of living in their little electronic world. So, So I assume that when you plan for outreach, you can make an assumption that most everybody that you might reach in your mission fields there, at least, have access to the internet.
In Japan, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Larry, anything from your perspective?
Well, I think a lot of my work was done in countries that were not as advanced as Mexico nor Japan. And one thing that we noticed in the Dominican Republic, even as the internet was just coming online and some things like that, is that people shared those connections. And from my experience in talking to missionaries, that still is the case. So even when you look at some of these statistics about how many people or how many homes are connected to internet, you have to put that into a culture that is very used to sharing everything. And that's not every nook and cranny in the world, but I think our African fields are showing this. Our Latin fields are definitely showing this, that if you're in a neighborhood where uncle has internet, you really have internet, and you'll have a Facebook account and that type of thing, and you might have to share some of that Wi-Fi connection with a smartphone, as Mike mentioned, or just go in there and use their computer screen or whatever they have set up. And I haven't seen anything written and published that really tries to get after that number. It's a lot easier to count the connections than trying to figure out how many people are actually using each of those connections. My perspective could be very wrong, but my perspective is that a lot more people are connected than those numbers reflect.
And probably growing, exponentially.
Yep. Yep. Sure.
Well, it sounds like the world is primed to receive a message via the internet. We've got it covered all around the world. So the obvious question for our Wells Tech audience is, how are you guys using technology in all these world fields, via the web or via the mobile technologies, whatever it may be? I'm sure there's strategies around it.
Well, here in Latin America, the two technologies that we're really focusing on using is our mobile technology with the smartphones and televisions. And this is there's a lot of talk, and there's been talk about taking these small little projectors so you can project like a PowerPoint or something like that to a group of people. But those projectors are uncommon technologies in most places here in Latin America, at least from my experience. And what's not uncommon is televisions. There are actually more homes with TVs in Mexico than there are with refrigerators. And I personally know people that have a television in their home, but they don't have a fridge. Because if you're a single mom, you want to have something to entertain your kids, but you can just go out every day and buy food. So that's a very common technology. And when I was in Bolivia in September, I had the opportunity to travel with a couple of our members from the church in La Paz, Bolivia, and we went down the mountain to this little isolated village, and there the members of the Bolivian church were teaching the members of teaching people at this one church in this village, and this village just got electricity in February. And I was talking with a few of the leaders in the village, and I asked them, well, does anybody here have a television? It just got plugged in February. Oh, sure, they said. Almost at least half the people in the village have TVs now. And sure enough, they used this long, 100-meter-long extension cord, and they were plugging it in, and they used those type of technologies so that they could take video and show video to teach the people in that church. So TVs and tech and smartphone mobile technologies are the things that we're keying on here in Latin America.
And when you say TV, are you the outreach techniques that you use aren't really just through broadcast TV, but through media that could be played on a screen? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I should explain. Yes, the most of the TVs that you've bought, even within the last 10 years here in Latin America, have an HDMI connection, and so people can take their cell phone and plug it in to the TV, and then they're able to broadcast or show a video or a video Bible study to a larger group of people.
And you've got some very specific projects going on to take advantage of technology, right, Mike?
Yep, we're using, we're actually creating, taking creating video Bible studies, really, is one of the keys that we're doing. And we're taking, for example, the Come Follow Me movie. We turned that movie into two Bible study courses that would be used to follow up. If you are making initial contact, you show the person the movie, and then you want to have something to follow up with. And these two courses each have 5 lessons. And what that is that's a 6 to 8 minute simple video that teaches a doctrinal point, and then it's followed up with questions and a teacher guide that, and they all can be loaded onto a cell phone, so the person from the cell phone can show the video when they're offline and also go through the question sheet and show that, and if they plug their cell phone into a TV, they're able to show it to a larger group of people.
I would imagine across the fields, the Come Follow Me series has been a real blessing into at least whatever language it has been translated into.
Yeah.
Brad, do you have access to that? And Larry, are you aware of other uses for that?
You know, Mike was talking about going to a place where there was just recently electricity brought to that village. We have some places in Asia still too, where our contact people are going to villages where there is no electricity. They are going with, even as recently as last year, carrying generators and gasoline for it, petrol as they would say, to in order to power the projector to show the movie. And first time that some of these people have seen a movie, and they saw Come Follow Me or Road to Emmaus, and after they saw it, they even wondered, how did the people get inside of the screen? And if they were inside of the screen, how did you carry them up the hill, up to the mountain? And so we are using projectors also to share the content that we have, and it's a very wonderful tool, and we're thankful that those movies have been produced, and that, as Mike said, we can also build Bible studies off of them.
I think something that's pretty key in the use of that material and what Mike's developing is figuring out how to put it in the hands of people that can use it. You know, it's not just something that we're trying to do remotely. I think that's something that I've heard here in this office when they hear an emphasis on digital publication or digital broadcast, and they're very concerned that we're removing people from the process. And that's really not the intent of most of this at all. It's to provide something in a big way that you can place into the hands of a native speaker, someone that understands the culture well, somebody that will be able to figure out how to use the technology much better than we can, at least from where I'm at, and take it into a home. And like Mike describes, put it on their TV or what Brad, I think, is describing up in the mountains, to project it just up on a wall or a sheet. And once you put those materials in those hands, especially in an area where that technology isn't readily available, you have started a conversation about the people in the box. But yeah, you can quickly turn that into a much more important conversation about Christ and what He came to do for them.
So we'll cut the interview off short there just to give us a show for next week. We're playing a little fast and loose with our episode numbering right now. So this was 373A, so we played the first half of the interview. It was a longer interview, so it's probably wise that we split it up. But there'll be a 373B in case you didn't know that's kind of our game plan. And there is method to our madness. We're trying to align our numbers. So we'll pull back the curtain a little bit and let everybody know what we do back here at the Wells Tech production studio. Because we want show 400, which is 27-ish episodes away, to fall during our Wells Tech conference 2015, which is in July 9th to 11th of 2015. So show 400, a special show, we wanted to kind of 399 or 401, you know, wasn't going to do it for us. So we said, well, let's do show 400. So then we'll make the numbers work. By the way, if you're interested in attending that very special conference that we have planned, and I'm really excited about some of the speakers we have coming, It is a July 9th to 11th in Waukesha at Country Springs Resort, Hotel and Resort, right here just down the street from the Synod office. And if you go to wells.net/WellsTechConf, WellsTechConf, C-O-N-F, there is a little sign-up form. Registration isn't open until February, but if you want to kind of stay up to date on the latest and greatest, there's a place where you can give us your email address, and we'll put you on the list, and you'll be notified when that registration is available. And maybe some other teasers along the way get you primed for what should be a really special conference. So that's again July 9th through 11th next year.
We're going to have a Wells Tech Turns 400 live podcast party, so you don't want to miss that. That's a special event that will be happening at Wells Tech Conference 2015.
Maybe with some audience participation, giveaways, who knows?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
We just want to get our numbers squared away, so this is 373A. thanks to Brad and Mike and Larry for their time, and you'll hear more of them next week. So. Good stuff, and we really appreciate what they bring to the table and the passion that they have for ministry. It certainly shows through. So we have an abbreviated show, so no tips or picks. Some of our regular features, our feedback, etc., with the exception of our video segment. Sally, what did we find this week to share with the good folks of Wells Tech?
We will celebrate Christmas week with a choir piece from Martin Luther College, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. So enjoy the video. It's the combined choirs. I think this is from their 2013 concert, but it will not disappoint. You'll enjoy it very much, I'm sure.
Right. Wonderful. Sally, have a very blessed Christmas. I know you will, because you know your Savior, and your Savior's a part of your big part of your Christmas. So. Please have a blessed Christmas, and we'll see you next week for episode 373B. Blessings to everybody, all of our Wells Tech family, and rejoice, the Savior has come.